Welcome to the Hilltop United Methodist Church podcast. Hilltop is located in Sandy, Utah, 985 East, 10,600 South. Locals would say 106th. Our two worship services are at 9 o'clock and 10:30. Hope to see you this Sunday. God bless. Bye-bye.
The reflection I'm going to offer today is intended to be in the form of what we would might think of as a reflection you would hear at a baccalaureate service. They still go on, they still happen, but baccalaureate services in their original were intended to be a religious service where we stopped and honored those that were about to graduate and reminded them a little bit of their religious tradition, a little bit of the of a blessing for them as they went out into life and they began, and they went with this idea that God was with them and God was helping propel them on that journey. The reading that Leanne started off with is out of Proverbs, and Proverbs is part of the wisdom material that is found in the Hebrew Bible. The wisdom material is it has two extremes associated with it. One is like here in Proverbs, very much a do X and Y will happen. Do this and this will occur. And it seems to attempt to provide some measure of certainty associated with these kinds of things. Do good things and bad things won't happen. Now, we of course know that's not always the case. It is often, most usually the story. But every once in a while, there are good things happen, bad things happen to good people. The other end of the wisdom material is Job, where we have this suffering good man, and Job at least doesn't know why it is that he's suffering. He's done everything according to the book. He's loved his children, loved his family, taken care of. As a good, upright, righteous man, and bad things happen to him. So that's at the other extreme of the wisdom material. What we've got today from the Proverbs is this idea of the fact that do this and good things will happen to you. Now, I will comment to you here that towards the middle of my reading, we'll get to a place where the reading would seem to offer the ways of errant women and stirring boys off onto bad paths, okay? I would say that the words could be substituted around here, and you could have errant boys leading young ladies off on errant paths as well, based upon the character. Our reading is from Proverbs. I'm on page 585 of the Old Testament section of your Pew Bible, and where I start, it will say it, and that's going to be wisdom. Wisdom will save you from the way of evil, from those who speak perversely, who forsake the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice in doing evil and delight in the perverseness of evil, those whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways. You will be saved from the loose woman, from the adulteress with her smooth words, who forsakes the partner of her youth and forgets her sacred covenant. For her ways lead down to death, and her path to the shades. Those who go to her never come back, nor do they regain the paths of life. Therefore, walk in the ways of the good, and keep to the paths of the just, for the upright will abide in the land, and the innocent will remain in it, but the wicked will be cut off from the land, and the treacherous will be rooted out of it. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
For those of you who are old enough to remember Nancy Reagan being the First Lady of the United States, she was involved in trying to help people stay off of drugs. Does anybody remember what her slogan was on that?
Just say no.
Just say no. Three words. Just say no. Now, Jacqueline Cockrell's father, Bruce, here is involved in the real estate business. He helps people buy and helps people sell homes. What are the three most important words in real estate?
Location,
location, location. Now, the title of the sermon here is actually six words combined into two three-word phrases. Too soon old, too late smart. Yes. Too soon old, too late smart. Can we have an amen?
Amen.
Marilyn and I occasionally play a little game, and the game is sort of, what age would you like to be again? If you couldn't be this age, what would you like to be? Okay? Would you like to go back to some point in your life? I was probably at my healthiest and happiest and enjoying life quite a bit when I was about 40 years old. I had just run Boston Marathon, weighed about 150 pounds. I know I weigh 195 right now. 150 pounds. I was neat. I was trim. Just got married to Marilyn. So, but the nature of the game was that I can only be 40 years old if I know what I know now. Okay? I see some eyes roll. Has anybody ever played that game? Wishing that you could be younger, but you want to be young, physically younger, but you want your mental maturation to be where you are now, right? Okay, so Jacqueline, Jen, others that might be here, this is intended to be a bit of a reflection on helping you get smart a little earlier than we got there. Okay, and perhaps maybe you could work down where you're going to be as wise as perhaps we are, but you'll make mistakes. Don't be surprised. You'll make a mistake or two. So, Barbara Bush passed away about eight weeks ago, and it was time for us at the time of her departure to stop and remember an address she gave to a women's college in 1992. And she focused in that particular address on three words. It wasn't location, location, location. It wasn't too soon old, too late smart. It wasn't just say no. What she talked about was faith, family, friends. Say that back to me. Faith, family, friends. There's no accident that her reflection that day in 1992 started with faith. It started with faith, and I'm going to end with faith as well. We're going to come back full circle on the issue of faith. Barbara Bush lived her life as a devout Episcopalian, and her faith was incredibly important to her. It helped sustain her. It helped carry her through the various elements of her life. We live in a world sometimes that says religion is a problematic. You go down, I think it's state or maybe seventh, you hit the rock down there, it says, want God without religion. Okay, I think something like that. And I find the idea a little problematic. All right, I really do. I find the idea just a little problematic. Religion comes from the same root word as ligament, and the ligament is what holds your body together. If you, I haven't talked to Roy about this officially, but my guess is if you didn't have any ligaments in your body, your bones would just fall to the ground. You would not be able. He's nodding his head. I was guessing right. All right. And I would say to you that the nature of what religion does, it helps bind us together. Ligaments bind your body together into a whole item. And religion helps bind you together in such a way that you can be a better person. Now, I've run seven marathons in my life. And you run the marathon by yourself, but you don't get there by yourself. You have to run the race of life by yourself to some extent, but you're buoyed and sustained in that run with the people that are around you. And part of that is the community that comes up in religion, in your faith. Your faith brings you to that place. Now, we have this funny phenomenon that goes on in the world today. All right? I had food poisoning twice in Korea. Twice. Okay? Now, as evidenced by the fact I weigh 195 pounds, I had food poisoning twice, but I still eat. Okay? And I think it's no secret that that Marilyn and I are both on a second marriage. When my first marriage fell apart, I had some girlfriends in between. No girlfriends since Marilyn. Okay. But I didn't let one bad relationship tell me that all relationships with women are impossible. All right. Now, part of what happens in our world is that somebody has a bad relationship at a church. Something goes a little kabooey. It goes a little crazy. It goes a little wacko. And what happens then is they swear off church forever, all churches everywhere. You've seen that phenomenon? Okay. And so what I want to suggest to you is the fact that to live a life of faith, find a church where they're almost perfect. They're as good as they can be, but there's some sinners in there too. And try to deal with that as best you possibly can. Now, so instead of abandoning all church, remember that what is going on inside that church is to how well they are carrying out the commandment of Jesus. And what is that commandment of Jesus? It's in John 13. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. So part of the task of the church, is to love each other. And I'm mindful of the fact that some of you are a little unlovable. I'm there. I got it. I know that. All right? And there's times, infrequently, I'm sure, that I'm a little unlovable. But you love me anyway. And I appreciate that. I do. But that's our homework assignment. And why? It goes back, in part, at least, because of what we talk about at baptisms. We talk about baptisms as there's a piece of God inside of that child that is in nowhere else, that is in no one else. And we get that partially from Genesis 2, the section begins at verse 4 on, that there's a piece of God inside of this child, that God makes the human creature out of clay, breathes God's breath into the child, and animates it. But we also have this beautiful passage out of 1 John 4, where you little children are from God and have overcome them because the evil in the world have overcome them, because greater is he who is in you than is who is in the world. It's important for us to recognize that there's this peace of God inside of us, and that helps move us along. And how does that peace of God get reinforced? It's by reminding ourselves of our faith journey. We run the race by ourselves, but the community helps buoy us up. It helps us to be the better people, and the invite is there for us to live that way. Now, Bob Dylan, the poet laureate of my ill-spent youth, once wrote in a song that it was important for us. You're going to have to serve somebody. Yes, indeed, you're going to have to serve somebody. It may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're going to have to serve somebody. True words. True words. And your faith journey into a community of religion helps bind you together and helps keep that true line as to where it is that you ought to be going and what you ought to be doing, and how it is that you might lead your life. And so if you get to a place where the church that you're going to is not the right church, find one that is the right church, okay? That helps hold you accountable and will take you to a better place. A author that I have read some says that everybody's got to worship something. Dylan says you have to serve somebody. The alternative is that everybody has to worship something. You can choose to worship money. If you choose to worship money, you'll never have enough. You can choose to worship beauty. You've met people that worship beauty. You've met them. And if you worship beauty, then you're just waiting to grow old and have time strike you and make you ugly in your perspective. Okay? You can worship power and you'll never have enough. Find something that you want to worship, that you're called to worship, that brings you to a higher place. And that's the task that we have there for us. In our faith journey, it's important for us to let this faith and be held accountable inside of a community to take us to a higher place. Now, the next word that she used, it was faith. Faith. Now, I'm mindful of family. I got it. I understand family. Some family, most of the family you have, you can't choose. I got it. You're born into it. It's given to you. And sometimes you have this crazy Uncle Waldo that's in the attic somewhere, and you just wish that none of your friends ever gets to meet him. Right? Is that true? Alan's nodding his head. Of course, he's from New York, and I'm not sure I want to meet any of Alan's relatives. So you have this opportunity there when you've got these relatives that are given to you. You still have to love them. Uncle Waldo, the weirdo in the attic, you have to love him. But I want to go a little bit to some of these the relative that you often choose. Now, I'm mindful most of the people in this room have already chosen their life mate. I've got that, all right? But many of the people in the room here are counselors, mentors, advisors, grandparents, parents, aunts, uncles, friends, something like that. So you can still provide some wisdom, some assistance at how it is that people go about choosing who it is they want to spend the rest of their life with. Okay? And I'm going to give you my little quick wedding ceremony or reflection. I focus on three Greek words. The first one is eros. Everybody like eros? Is eros okay? Eros is the word that we get erotic from. It's sort of the heat that brings people together. It's this passion that's there. But eros is insufficient to sustain a relationship for an extended period of time. It somewhere along the line loses the heat. The heat, being almost 100% of the nature of the love, starts to drop and drop and drop. It doesn't always go away to zero, but it's no longer the only defining element. And so what we then move through in the next phase is this idea that's in Greek of this word of philios. And that's what this brotherly love. Now, for those of you that know something about the National Football League and know something about Philadelphia Eagles football fans, your comment is that the Philadelphia Eagle football fans have never heard anything about brotherly love. All right? These people throw snowballs at Santa Claus. Can you believe that? They boo Santa Claus. How can you boo Santa Claus? But they do. So the city of brotherly love is perhaps a little misnamed, but that doesn't mean that we throw the idea of brotherly or sisterly love totally away. We still embrace the idea, and it's important for us to keep that. So sometimes these relationships that you have go from eros to philios. One of the great lines from the movie Shenandoah is that the father is asking one of the heroes in the story is, do you like my daughter? Of course I like your daughter. I love her. That wasn't my question. I know you love her. Do you like her? I know you love her. Do you like her? And that's part of what's going on here with this, is this idea of making sure the relationship can go to a place where you like each other. You actually like each other to be out there. To be with each other. Now, the third word is this word that Paul uses in 1 Corinthians 13. It's this word of what it is that sustains us through all the thick and thin elements of our life, which is agape. It's actually pronounced in Greek agape, but we've gotten to a place where we've anglicized it to agape. And it's to love like God loves. So the task for us is to love unconditionally like God loves. That's tough work. That is tough stuff to love unconditionally, not to keep score. When people get married, I have a little joke routine I go through. Roberta's heard it 15 times probably, but most people haven't heard it but the one time that I do it there. But it's this idea of unconditional love, which means for men, you empty the dishwasher once in a while, right? I got one laugh, all right? And for women, maybe it's watch a football game once a year. Okay? Something like that, all right? But it's this idea of loving your partner enough to do some of the things you don't necessarily like to do. That's a task for you. Now, I sort of went through family a little bit there, and it didn't focus overly long on the family you don't get to choose. I focused sort of on the family you get to choose, but choice is also includes this idea of the third word. It was faith, family, and friends. Okay, though that's important. Choosing who you choose as friends is important. The Bible is filled with examples. The passage I read to you was filled with this idea of choose wisely who you hang around with. Choose wisely who you hang around with. Paul would say something very similar to that in 1 Corinthians 15. He would say, do not be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals. Bad company ruins good morals. Now, at the 9 o'clock service, Doug Orr was sitting over here, and I reminded him and the congregation at 9 o'clock service about Doug and his willingness to call attention to what was going on that was flawed. The first year I was here, Doug and I were talking about a person in the church who needed some help. And somebody walked up and began to overhear us. A teenager walked up and began to overhear us, and as Doug and I are talking, he figured out who we were talking about, and he started doing the Twilight Zone tune, do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do, talking about this person. And Doug immediately said to me, Pastor Dennis, just a second. He turned around to the individual that said that and said, that's not who we are. Didn't wait 2 hours, 3 hours, the next week, whatever. He did an on-the-spot, immediate correction and said, that's not who we are. And that's part of why you want to hang around with good people, why you want people you love to hang around with people of good character. You want them to hang around with the Doug Orrs of this world that will bring us back, remind us of what it is that we're supposed to do. And how do you define that? You come back to this idea of faith. It comes full circle. It comes full circle. Faith, family, friends. And how do you define your friends? Based upon your faith. That's where it starts off. It's this reminder of us that this book is important to us. The Proverbs we just read. The book of Proverbs offers an observation in Proverbs 22. Make no friendship with a man given to anger, nor go with a wrathful man, lest you learn his ways and entangle yourself in a snare. Who you hang around with matters, and how you define who you hang around with should be driven, at least in part, by what's defined as character inside of this book. So, the challenge for us as parents, grandparents, mentors, aunts, uncles, I'm sure one or two of you are really the crazy Uncle Waldo that stays in the attic and people don't want to show you off, right? But it's our task to remind those around us of what the important three words are. The important three words are not location, location, location. The important three words are not just say no. Those are important words, but they're not the words that should define us on this day in which we stop and pause and reflect on what it is to leave and go out into the world. Rather, the three important words are the words that Barbara Bush offered. Keep our focus on faith. Keep our focus on faith, friends, and friends. I'm sorry, I did it wrong. Faith, family, friends. Thank you. You guys better smarter than me. You're way ahead of me there on that. Those three things held together, bound together by religion, bound together by what it is you believe, bound together by the book, if not this book, a book that's very similar to it, I would say. that helps prescribe that. I'm advocating Judaism, for example, is that it helps bind us together. It helps remind us who we are and whose we are. That's the challenge for us. I understand we have two of the graduates here this morning, but everybody here is going to be exposed to somebody over the next 2, 3, 4 years where you have a chance to share wisdom with them. And I would say to you, the three words you might want to offer them from your experience in life, your too soon old, too late smart, is that you offer to them the thoughts of the important things in life are defined by your faith, they're defined by your family, and they're defined by your friends. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we ask you to be with us and nurture us in this time together so that as we hear your words, our hearts are warmed and led towards you step by step. We ask this blessed in the name of Christ Jesus, and all of God's children say, Amen.
Hilltop is located in Sandy, Utah, 985 East, 10,600 South. Locals would say 106th. Our two worship services are at 9 o'clock and 10:30. Hope to see you this Sunday. God bless. Bye-bye.